thing that's common to man. Trees, don't worry about it. I'll go over to the radio station and do the program. It's distracting watching y'all. Don't worry about it. The second thing that is common to men is fear. Every person in this room at some point has been afraid of something. Right? Everybody in this room, at some point you've been afraid of something. Right now I'm afraid of our country. Right now I'm afraid of who's leading our country. Because the person that's in front that they say is leading the country is not leading the country. He's a mannequin. He doesn't even, he's not enough alert to even think for himself. Somebody's doing the thinking for him. And the reason why we've gotten so out of whack is because they've been able to use him as a vessel to bring demonic stuff into the United States of America. Did you ever think that you would have to apologize for telling men and women, boys and girls, that God made you male and female? And yet you have to basically apologize, or you have to defend yourself for defending that position. I can't wait for June to be over. I've had all the pride celebrations I can stomach. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be a male, and I'm proud that there's females, and I'm glad that Teresa's a female. I'm glad that Anna's a female. I'm glad that Jordan's a male. And if any of them came to me and said that they were kind of having thoughts about what they ought to be, I would set them straight immediately. But all of us have to deal with fear. Here's what I need you to understand. It is the perfect will of God for every single person in the world to not be afraid. I'm going somewhere. I want you to get this down, though. See? So to infer that God is somehow involved in fear is a complete misunderstanding of who God is. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The third thing that we all have to deal with are relationships. Oh, man. Woo-wee. Every single person in this room, everybody that's listening by radio or internet, at some point in our lives, we've had relationship problems. Can I get an amen? Would somebody do me a favor and grab, do you have that lesson sheet, Leslie? Can I borrow that? I hate to steal that from you. But all of us at some point have run into somebody that rubbed us the wrong way, right? Now, in fact, I know that my attitude towards what's going on in our country politically, I know that on some level it's not 100% Christian. I know that. I know, and I know that I put things on Facebook, and I know that most people are too cowardly to respond to it, right? Because they're scared to go. Not y'all, but I mean, there's people out there. They're exposing themselves because they're not really against anything. You got to be against some things. Sin is still sin. Depravity is still depravity. But anyway, how'd that fit into this? Oh, even on that level, I could do better how I deal with that. I could. Because the Bible actually says we're to pray for our leaders, but there's also a Bible verse that says that some people are made kings and not by me, saith the Lord. Yeah, there's a verse. I'll find that for you. But even in criticizing evil, there's a God way to do it. Jesus was the best of it, best at it. Remember the woman at the well of Samaria? She was going to get in a religious argument with Jesus. Remember that? And he said, I tell you what, go call your husband, and we'll talk about it. Because in Jewish culture, see, you were supposed to talk to the man of the house. See, Jesus was obeying Scripture. And she said, I don't have a husband. Oh, one of the greatest rebukes of all time. He said, yeah, that would be right. He says, you don't have a husband. He said, you've had five. Now, that's a whole lot. How many of you are glad you've only had one? How many is glad you haven't got past two? Five would be a whole different ball of wax. He said, that's right, you don't have a husband. You had five. And then he said, the man that you're with now, he's not your husband. That's rebuking correctly. Amen. She said, you know, I perceive you're a prophet. See, I would have a lot more ammunition for my criticism if the power of God was operating in my life in a supernatural way. And people came to life in Christ Church and got visibly healed in front of people. Amen. That's true. Don't say amen too loud, though, Donnie. But it is true. It is true. Signs and wonders should follow what you teach. Our problem is we got to be out of here by 9:30 because we had to sell our church building. Because it made more sense to sell the church building than for it to sit empty. Come on now. And the reason why it's sitting empty is because of what I'm teaching you this morning. Whether you know it or not, that's why it's empty. Because I could come here next Sunday and tell everybody I repent for teaching all that, and you never know what God's going to do. And hallelujah to the Lamb of God, and everybody would say, Mark Browning has been converted. Let's go listen to him because he's funny. It is, here it is, the perfect will of God for every person on the earth who lives on the earth to not have relationship problems. I didn't say it about fear, I'll say it about this one. I'm not naive enough to think that we don't have relationship problems. 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Ask Tammy Wynette, whoever sung that song, D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Anyway, if you go to work, you're going to run into somebody you don't like. If you go to church, you're going to run into somebody that you don't like. If you watch TV, you're going to run into a lot of people you don't like. But it's not God's will for you to have relationship problems. And to include him in that is a misunderstanding of who God is. Y'all see where I'm headed? I've been headed this way for 26 years, and it's a heavy load to carry. But I've got about 30 people that will carry it with me, and God bless you. And I've got about 30 people that put $5,000 to $6,000 in the offering basket here, and God bless you. The fourth thing we all deal with is health. Health. I turned 64 Sunday. And I'm telling you, does anybody besides me play golf? What you do before you go golfing? What I did yesterday wasn't golf. It was something else. But what I tried to do yesterday was play golf. But normally when you go play golf before you go, I need accurately how far I am on this because it's not on the radio, so I'm going to go longer. That scared some of you. I was on the, so you go to the range first to warm up. Hit a few balls. I'm telling you what, I got out there to loosen up my joints and my bones. And I heard things squeaking I didn't know squeaked. And I'm 64, and I play with an older group of people. I am no longer the youngest one, though, darn it. And I looked along that line. I said, don't any of y'all want to raise your leg up and stretch? And I moaned and groaned. And I don't really get loose till about the fourth hole. How many of you know everybody has health issues to deal with? Did you know if I take these glasses off, I could not tell you who that was right there? I'd miss out on the beauty of both these ladies, both of them. But if I put my glasses on, woo! Listen to me, Mel, this is going to get everybody fired up. It is the perfect will of God for every person, everywhere, to be healthy. And I'm not naive enough to think that everybody's healthy. You know what one of the biggest businesses in the entire world is? Healthcare. Do you know why every other commercial on TV is health insurance or insurance companies? Because it's a $1 trillion industry. You know why the medical profession will not say anything about this transgenderation of our society? It is because they make a fortune doing it. Never forget. Never forget that when you evaluate most things, you're going to find out that the basis of it, the foundation of it, has to do with how somebody's getting rich doing it. Y'all following with me so far? So to say that God has a plan and not understand what that plan is going to get you in all kinds of trouble. And the reason why I'm teaching this is not because I want to be popular or I want to be critical. It's because until you understand this, you're not going to get help from God, even though God has already helped every single one of us and done every single thing he needs to do for every single one of us. And hardly anybody knows it because we play church. And then the fifth thing that's common to man, and I'm not going to get an argument on this, is death. How many of you know that everybody has to deal with dying? Saw something on the, boy, I tell you, I was talking to Maria. I think it was Maria this morning. I was talking about how I think at night I got to figure some way to shut that phone off. But I was on the Fox News site. And I saw where the great prophet and evangelist Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, Arnold, I'll be back. A lot of people say I look like him. Right around this area, right in here, that's me and Arnold. Yeah, so Arnold put on his webpage or announced to everybody that nothing happens to you when you die except you just go in the dirt. So the great prophet Arnold Schwarzenegger just convinced millions of people that all that's going to happen to them is they're going to pour dirt over you and you're going to never know anything for the rest of your life. Oh my goodness, that invalidates almost the entire totality of the Bible. God, Jesus told the Pharisees, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they'd been dead for 1,000 years. And then, of course, the greatest story of all, the greatest revelation of all, is Jesus Christ is not in a tomb dead. He's seated at the right hand of God. Oh, my friends, there is an eternity that all of us slip off to. And don't listen to Arnold Schwarzenegger. He hadn't had a hit in years. He's invalid. And the only reason why he got popular is they put him in rows where he didn't have to talk. Anybody can be the Terminator. All you got to do is terminate. Every, Nan, are you glad you're here this morning? Huh? I'm glad you're with us. Is it recording? Y'all going to have to stay a little longer. Every single person has to deal with death. I've had to deal with the death of two of my nieces that died way too early in their lives. That on some level, now listen to me very carefully, on some level ruined the lives of their parents. On some level. You know, they've recovered and they've gone on, but every single day, every moment of every single day, they think about them. My brother will not leave Kentucky because his daughter's tomb is in Louisville. I'm not going to criticize him. I'm not going to tell him that they're ashes now and that you could have cremated her and took her wherever you wanted to go. But I'm not going to criticize that. I'm not going to do it. It hurts too bad. Deal with it the way you need to deal with it. But did you know it wasn't God's will? It wasn't God's will. Now, sooner or later I'll get to that. But it wasn't God's will for neither one of them to die. But how many of you know accidents happen? How many of you know some people are an accident waiting to happen? Don't look at me like that. But here it is. Listen to this now. Every single person alive on the earth, it is the will of God for every single one of them to die God's way. And yet hardly anybody does. Hardly anybody fulfills the length of their days the way God intended for it to be. He didn't want it to be like George Carlin, the famous comedian that died. He didn't want it to be that way, where you come into the womb in diapers and you leave the world in diapers. He don't want it that way. He wants you to be like Moses and have God take you up and bury you with all the strength in your bones. and your eyesight not dim. There's a lady right there that's living it. There's some of these ladies right here that's living it. Miss Gloria's not here this morning. I was going to give her a compliment, get her back in here. Greatest skin I've ever seen on a person in my life. It's not God's will. Somebody said, well, all right. And by the way, when I get you in here and get you under this teaching, you know it's right. You know it's right. Problem is, I can't hang around with you all the time. You don't want to hang around with me, and I don't want to hang around with you. Right? What you got to do is stick your nose in the book. That's what you got to do. You got to stick your nose in the book and read the book enough to know that there are reasons why bad things happen to people. And the reason why bad things happen to people is not because of God. And this is why nobody's in the building. I mean, that's why I only got about 30 following me. No telling how many on the radio and the internet, though. Could be thousands. Hey, we got a phone call. I got a phone call. I don't know if I should say it because it's going to be a potential client, but he said he heard of me on the radio. And I don't talk about tax stuff on the radio. I talk about Jesus. But you got to get your nose in this book. You can't trust theologians to tell you stuff. Don't even trust me. And I know that's not hard for a lot of you. But I've read this book, and I found out that there's cause and effect. I found out why things happen. And I found out that almost all the time it's never had anything to do with God. It has to do with us, me, the devil, or somebody else. So here we go. Everybody happy? Boy, this is good stuff. That's why I got to get up in the morning and come here. I want to come here. Everybody see that? So what's the verse? Give me the verses real quick because I got to. No, that's not the name. Therese, what's our first verses in the thing? Is that the first one? Is that the first one? Okay, so let's go along this line. Yeah, that's the one after Romans 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. Okay, all right, here's the first thing you got to learn. Here's the first thing you got to learn. And I got plenty of time, don't I? Everybody tracking? You tracking? Here's the first thing you got to learn. James 1:13. Watch this now. James 1:13. Let no one say that with me. Let no one say. If you really could understand the translation of this, the magnitude of this, the depths of this, you'd shut up some of your verbiage. See, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Now listen, let's everybody see that? Look at this. By the way, it's taken me sometimes years to get people to understand this. I've had people call me after sitting in this church for 2 or 3 years and telling me, I finally see what you're talking about. But he can't be tempted by evil. Let's put the five things up, and I want you to see what I'm talking about. Somebody said, do you know about anything else? I do. But until I can get people to understand what I'm talking about, you can't go forward, because as long as you think God is involved in your evil or something evil in your life, you can't get help from him. So let me, remember it says God can't be tempted by evil. Number one, put it up. Poverty, a lack of money, poverty is evil. Have you ever been to a place that's poverty stricken? We used to have a place here in Sierra Vista. I think they've cleaned it up a little bit on Frytown. Poor, destitute. That's not victory. Again, I'm not judging them or I'm not condemning them. I have compassion for them. But that's evil. That's evil when people can't pay their bills. That's evil when people can't afford to go to the doctor. That's evil when people can't have electricity. That's evil when people can't eat good food. Oh, God help us if that day ever comes. That's all the church has. You know what Andrew Womack said? I didn't say it. I'm going to quote him. No, I'm not even going to say it. I'm in such a good mood. I'm in such a good frame with y'all. I don't want to bring you down at all. Let me just say that it wouldn't hurt any of us, including me, to let the fork go every now and then. Amen. And the older I get, I don't care what anybody says, the older I get, the harder that is to do, because I've got way more dead time than I used to have. And I don't know, about 6, if you could just stop eating at 5 o'clock, you'd have it made, but I don't do that. Anyway, how many of you understand poverty's evil? So God's not involved in poverty. Do you know that? If you do something crooked with money, that's evil, and God's not involved in it. Number two, I got to go quicker because I want to get into it. Did you know that it's evil? It's an evil thing to be afraid. Did you know that being afraid will keep you from doing things in life? There are people that won't even leave their homes because they're scared to leave the house. And I got to tell you, you know, going back to my nieces being killed in car wrecks, I've let something get into me that I wish I hadn't. I'm always concerned that the phone call's going to be bad. Because those are bad phone calls to get, man, when you hear somebody on the other end screaming that so-and-so's dead. That's a bad call. Especially when one of them was 16 and the other one was 40. Come on. And you're going to say that God was involved in that? I will not allow that. I will not allow it. I won't allow it. If it costs me my life, I won't allow it. I mean it. God doesn't want, fear is an evil thing. Some people have never, my mother thought that the world ended at the Marion County line. She thought if you got past the Marion County line, it was all over, you were gone. And that was all fear. Thank God I found out that there was a whole lot going on past the Marion County line. But here's another thing I want to say, and I'm going to teach this again next week. I'm going to tell you that every one of these things, I have a problem in some area, I have a problem in them. But I don't blame God for it. I blame me or the rotten devil or somebody else. And be careful about blaming somebody else, especially if it's your wife. Happy wife is a happy life. Can you say amen? Be careful on that. Be careful when you talk about blaming somebody else. You like this, Brandon? Is it solid?
I'm ready.
Is it right on?
Yes.
Is it right on? Yes. Is it probably too right on?
I'm liking it so far.
That wasn't the answer I was looking for. It's evil to be afraid. It's evil. It's evil not to want to get on an airplane. Especially if that airplane's going to the Caribbean. Man, get on that thing! If it's going to Hawaii, get on that thing and get on home. Mom and daddy not that. Nan, how you doing back there? Is your boyfriend going to come hear me preach? Amen. Number three. Did you know it's evil? It's evil when you're in relationship problems. Man, I tell you what, I'm telling you. One of the things that I had to get over, and I'm telling you, my wife will back me up on this, I got into some bad trouble because I started talking about people that were coming to church. Boy, that'll bite you. That'll bite you in the derriere. I had to quit that. Amen? You have to quit it. And did you know that if you have a relationship problem on some level, there's something you can do to mend the fence? And in order to mend the fence, you may have to do something you don't want to do, and that's admit mistakes or swallow pride. But relationship problems are evil. Now, listen very carefully. I'm a divorced person. A lot of people don't know it. A lot of the ministers know it because they tell everybody, don't go to that church. He's divorced. I was divorced in 1998. I mean, yeah, 1998, wasn't it? 1998. And then I met Teresa after my divorce. And 96, she made sure I got, yeah, we got married in 98. We got married in a fever. I was divorced in 1996. Now, I'm not going to take you through the Bible, but I'm going to tell you right now that the Bible says it's sinful to divorce and marry another. I'm going to tell you, but anyway, I don't want to get into that. The Lord told me never talk about it. He did. He told me. He said, don't ever talk about it because he said, if you talk about it, you're going to give the impression you're trying to defend yourself. He said, I'll take care of it. He hadn't done that good a job. I got to talk to him about that. Yeah, I had a minister come to me one day, had lunch with me. He said, you are, and I say these things, and I swear right now it doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not saying it for bragging. I'm saying it to illustrate a point. He took me lunch. He said, you are, without a doubt, the best Bible teacher in Sierra Vista. But he said, nobody's going to come to your church because you divorced your wife. Yeah, he did. And he loved God. He was famous, kind of, anyway. Anyway, but you know, relationship problems, being in strife, that's evil. That's evil. That's not from God. It's not from God. I'll give you one verse on that because of this. James 3:16. Look at this real quick. How am I doing on time? Because, all right, James 3:16. I don't know where y'all picked the sermon up. How are we going to, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Is that God? Let me ask you this. Did James tell us that God can't be tempted by what? What can't God be tempted by? Evil. Let me go back to, did I already cover health? I didn't have time to tell you this. I'll come back to health in a minute. Anyway, relationship things are evil. Health's next, isn't it? Health's next. All right, anyway, you want to speed me up? I don't have the verses marked because I didn't do it, but if you go to Luke's gospel, you'll find out that there was a man in the synagogue that had something wrong with him. I don't think it was the man with the withered arm. I think it was somebody else. And they were going to see if Jesus would heal the man. We'll find the verse later. I'll give it to you later in the lesson, because how many of you know we're not finished with this lesson? How many of you know we'll never get finished with this lesson on some level? So he's in Luke's gospel, and there's a man in the synagogue that's got something wrong with him. And so Jesus says this to him, is it right to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? So he called healing the man good. He called the man having something wrong with him evil. Now, I got to explain that because that doesn't mean that everybody that's sick is because of evil, but it does mean that some people are sick because of evil. And sickness itself is not godly, it's satanic. It only entered the world through sin. Nobody was sick until Satan showed up. Abel would be alive today, or not today, he probably wouldn't be alive. He wouldn't physically be alive. He might, because he wouldn't have sinned. But anyway, evil came into the world through Satan and through sin, and that brought in death, relationship problems, poverty, and fear. And it also brought in the fifth thing. It also brought in the fifth thing, death. None of us were supposed to die physically, but God told Adam, It's a play on the translation. God told Adam, in the day you eat of the fruit, in dying you will die. That's what it literally means. What's that mean? Well, it means that when you eat of that fruit and you change gods and you do what the devil says, you die spiritually. And because you die spiritually, then you have to die physically. Right? But we learned something last week. We learned that the spirit of man can be reborn. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new spirit. Did y'all hear me? If any man be in Christ, he's a new spirit. Problem is, you can't see that new man. You can see the old man, and everybody wants to talk about the old man. But there is a way to die, God's way. And dying prematurely is not godly, it's evil. Everybody listening to me? Now, somebody said, prove it to me. Okay, I'm glad you asked that. There's a verse in 1 John 4:8 that says this. Most of us are familiar with it, but I'm going to say it over and over. He who does not love, and don't focus on that part of it. Don't focus on that part of it. He who does not love does not know God. Focus on this part for me this morning. For God is love. Say that, everybody.
For God is love.
Say it again.
For God is love.
When I took algebra, and I had to take some calculus for my business degree, a little dose of calculus and some algebra and some other stuff. The word is, in mathematics, is the word equal. Y'all remember that? Remember that? When you've got a word problem in math, how many of you are trying to forget it and wish I'd move on? But when you got a word problem in math, the word is means equal. So what this is really saying is God equals love. Now where we miss it is that that word love is the Greek word agape. Everybody say agape. Did anybody ever watch the movie Finding Nemo? Not little anymore. I told them both to quit their jobs, just come live with me. I noticed that Anna got a little interested in it. Jordan, not so much. Anna wouldn't do it. She's a Phoenix girl. She's a Valley girl now. But I remember we had to go to every Pixar movie that came out. Did y'all? Y'all went to them too, didn't you? Huh? You don't remember? Toy Story, 1, 2, 3, 4, Finding Nemo, the Incredibles. Anyway, remember in Nemo, Finding Nemo, escape. How many of you remember that? That girl called that escape. She couldn't see or read or something. And she said the word escape was escape. This is agape. God is agape. God's not trying to be agape. God is agape. He can't change. He can't be something he's not. He is agape. Jesus revealed him as agape. Jesus declared him as agape. John said that Jesus told him about God, and the message he told him about God was that God was light, and in him is no darkness at all. Be careful about saying God has a plan. Because if that plan isn't good, that plan's not God. God is love. God is agape. And in the New Testament, the word love is almost exclusively translated. The word agape, the Greek word, it's a Greek word. The Greek word agape is almost exclusively translated. The word agape is almost always exclusively translated love. So you need a good Bible. And now with the internet and stuff like that, Bible Hub, you can see what every Greek word is in the Bible. Do you know that? So several years ago, I was reading the book of Romans. Everybody following me so far? Say it out loud with me. God is agape. So several years ago, I was reading Romans, and I got to Romans 13, and I read this verse in verse 10. And it was a revelation verse for me. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And I read it, sometimes you'll read the Bible and then you put it down and, you go about doing certain things. And the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart specifically. And he said, did you notice that it says in that verse that love doesn't do any harm to a neighbor? And he said, did you notice that I wrote that to the church at Rome? And he said that if I expect the church at Rome not to harm their neighbor, he said, then why in the world would people think that I'm harming your neighbor? And I thought, man, that'll sell. That'll fill this church building up. I didn't. I humbly said, Lord, my gosh, that's right. So if your neighbor next door is going through a divorce, is God doing that? Not necessarily, almost, that's a bad example. If your neighbor has been diagnosed with colon and lung cancer, is that God? Would he harm his neighbor? Would he want his neighbor to be racked with pain? If you find out your neighbor lost his job and he came and turned his electricity off, is God doing that? Is that part of some plan God has? How many of you, when you learn this lesson and you learn this truth, you can't tolerate when you hear that nonsense? That's why I struggle listening to the message, because they come on with that almost all the time, and almost every songwriter puts it in his lyrics. Jesus, send the rain, if that's what it takes. I know that everything's going on because you're in control. Everything happens for a reason. You never know. This was always one of my old favorites. You never know what God's going to do. Yeah, you would if you got your nose in the book. What God did was rescue us from the power of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Yeah. See? So he said that to me, and I said, man, Lord, that will work. That works. I said, really and truly, I mean, you can't argue that. If he's telling me, and that word love is agape. That's agape. Agape. So not only, so what do we know? Here's what I want you to see. If that word love here and here is agape, what do we know? What can we deduce? That, okay, I may not be able to do it, but obviously, put the verse back up, obviously, God's not doing any harm to a neighbor, because God is agape. God, Jesus was agape in the flesh, and he fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle of it. Crossed every T and dotted every I. So don't worry about that kind of stuff. Worry about go to faith school, go to grace school, and go to love school. Don't try to get everybody corrected. Amen. You're not going to get anywhere trying to correct people. What you got to do is take them to faith school, grace school, and love school. Amen. And I've been to all three of the schools, and I've got millions of miles yet to go. Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I get an amen? I tell you, if we taught this to the church on a regular, consistent basis, we'd see way more productivity. Amen. Way more productivity. Agape does no harm to a neighbor. God does no harm to a neighbor. Say that with me. God does no harm to a neighbor. So if you're having money problems, put them up real quick. Money problems. I like that one too. I like that. It was good. That was spiritual. That was prophetic. If you're having money problems, Biden problems, I like that. Yeah. Amen. Trump problems. By the way, in case y'all want to know it, I'm a Ron DeSantis supporter. That's who I hope becomes the next president of the United States. I'm not going to say any more about it. That's who I want to be the next president of the United States, because they're never going to leave Donald Trump alone. And Donald Trump's going to give them enough ammunition not to leave him alone. And they're going to beat Ron DeSantis up. The devil hates him because he stands for morality and right and wrong and the principles of a moral society. And they'll get to him on some level, but he don't have near the baggage. And he's not 78 years old. For the love of God, can we get somebody in there that's young enough, bless God, to at least go out and hit a golf ball and not have to warm up for an hour and a half before he gets loose? Y'all, that's who I want to be president of the United States. Probably not going to happen, but that's who I want to be president of the United States. Amen. But God's not involved with poverty, fear, relationship problems, health problems, and premature death. And somebody says, well, but that can't be because everybody deals with it. Well, let's talk about why. In our website, Life in Christ Church, if you go to our webpage, if you're listening by radio or internet, we have a place. Can you go there, or is that too much trouble? Yeah. Can you get to that website? Let's do it afterwards. Let's do it afterwards while I'm teaching. Let's do this first. If you go to our website, you'll see that there's a button up top that says We Believe, and then if you click on it, it gives you our statement of faith. Okay? It's unique in that the first three or four things are common to any evangelical Pentecostal charismatic church. It's unique in that after that, it deals with the issue of the false doctrine of the sovereignty of God. And so somewhere in the middle, here is the reason why we've fallen prey to the doctrine that's in the Protestant evangelical church is because we don't understand this. And we do believe. What we're saying here is in our statement of faith. And I've changed the verbiage, and when James gets back, we're going to fix it in the statement of faith because I didn't like our sentences too much. I had to change my sentences. How many of you know it's good sometimes to review your work and improve? Anything wrong with improving? So here it is. We believe, and I'm assuming if you keep coming back week after week and putting $5,000 to $6,000 in the offering bucket, which we don't have an offering bucket, if you put it in the box back there, I got to assume you believe it as well. If not, you just don't have anything else to do on Sunday. Am I right? And I know that can't be true, because at a minimum, you'd have laundry to do, right? But I believe you believe it. Do you believe it? We believe the assigning of evil to God was birthed from the mind of Satan. Say that, everybody, if you want to. I'm not afraid in here. Ooh, I can't say that all the time out there. Amen. I've taken some hits because of what I put on Facebook. And it just gnaws at me that none of my relatives will support me. Cowards. Fight to fight with us. Bless God. Stand up for our children. We got a president that wants to see our children mutilated. Mutilated. And again, he's a mannequin. Somebody's speaking through the mannequin. That's why this is going on. There's nobody that has any moral backbone. Ron DeSantis does. Oh, I'm going to hit that hard. We believe the assigning of evil to God. Say it with me. We believe the assigning of evil to God was birthed from the mind of Satan. I'll give you a verse, 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4:1. It's on there. Now the Spirit expressly says, listen to this. Now the Spirit expressly says, by the way, if you're listening by radio or internet, download that statement of faith and be sure you know what it is we believe. Man, you know, am I good on time? Back in the day, and I don't know why, but back in the day, we used to get a lot of GIs. Remember that, Brian? We'd get a lot of GIs. I had an officer lady that came, and two or three of her friends came for a regular, quite a while. This was back when we were more of a full-service church. And I got she called me, and she was going to marry a man in New York, and she wanted to know if I'd fly out and do the marriage. And I said, honey, I love you, but are you going to buy the ticket? I didn't say that. But I kind of bowed out. I thought, man, I'm going to go to New York. I should have done it, man. Anyway, the reason why I brought that up is a lot of times we would get GIs in here, and they would get all on fire, man. And they'd say, man, this is fabulous. And then they'd go home on leave, and we'd never see them again. You know who got to them? Mama or Daddy or Grandma or Grandpa or Uncle Ted. They found out, well, what's he teaching? See, this is new to so many people, but it's not really new. It's the Bible. See, the Bible has told us throughout, for 2,000 years, the Bible's told us, be not be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. See, it's cause and effect. It's been in there all the time. But it's not comfortable for people to have to deal with it. So it's a whole lot easier to think, okay, God, I'm just going to see how it all turns out. Listen to me now. Here it is. I'm going to see how it all turns out, and I know you'll work it out for my good. A complete misunderstanding of Romans 8:28. All the things that work out for your good are all the things that God told you had in Romans chapter 8. All that stuff works for your good. Not poverty, not sickness, not fear, not depression, not anxiety, not strife, not jealousy, not envy. It just makes too much sense. And you have to actually pay somebody to misunderstand it. And people do, don't they, Donnie? They do. There's a church here in town packed this morning. And that fellow tells those people every Sunday that they're part of God's clay and he's the potter and he's molding you. And the way he's molding you is through whatever it is he needs to mold you with. I don't know. Should we take it off the radio or not? I don't know. But that's not right. You know what? If God's molding me, he's molding me in the image and the likeness of his son. And he's molding me with nothing but good stuff. Because he don't have anything evil. He can't be tempted by it. Next part, quickly. Here we go. Next part of the, put the thing up, the doctrine. Number two, we believe it causes people to not accept responsibility for their actions. And again, I warned you already on this. We believe it causes people to not accept responsibility for their actions or the actions of others. Again, be careful about blaming somebody else, but sometimes it is somebody else's fault. I mean, I hate to use this illustration, but some idiot or some mad, maniacal, demon-possessed person that walks in and kills somebody and shoots them, it wasn't your fault. I mean, that's as plain as you can make it. And again, I don't like to have to bring that up, but God didn't do it, and you didn't do it. Some demon-possessed person did it. I don't know if I got time. Billy Graham was on Larry King Live one night. I used to watch that all the time. Back in the day, all you had was CNN before it became demon-possessed completely. Absolutely, no question about it. But I remember he was on Larry King after 9/11. And Billy Graham believes in the sovereignty of God. He believes in it hook, line, and sinker. But he's a great man. Again, I think that needs to be said. He's done more for the kingdom of God in 2 hours than I'll do my whole lifetime. So he's a great man, but he believed in the concept of the sovereignty of God. But even he realized it was stupid on Larry King Live right in front of everybody. Because Larry King said, why did God allow that? Because nothing can happen unless God allows it. And Billy Graham said, oh no, God didn't allow that. That was evil. And I thought to myself, why can't you see that about everything? God's not involved in evil because there's no evil in him. We believe it causes people to not accept responsibility for the actions or the actions of others. And I quote this verse all the time, Genesis 3:12, right after Adam has sinned. Don't get mad at him. Then the man said, the woman, whose fault? Wasn't his fault, was it? Was it his fault? The woman whom you gave to be with me. She gave me of the tree. He didn't take responsibility. He blamed his wife, and if that didn't work, he's going to go ahead and blame God. And the Lord reminds me of this all the time. You know, it's so true in my life, too. Boy, it's part of the carnal, sinful nature. I'm telling you, I blame everybody in the world for my bad golf shot except me. I swear I do. He pointed that out to me. You know, I played bad yesterday because there was a group behind us that was playing fast, and they were rushing us. And I made a 7 on a par 4, and I blamed them. I said, them guys are rushing me. I can't concentrate. Didn't have anything in the world to do with me sculling a golf shot on the green, hitting it over the green, and then having to chip back on and putt 4 times. That didn't have anything to do with it. So I'm going to spend one Sunday just showing you how inept I am at what I teach. Maybe that'll get a crowd. Hey, Mark's having his own confessional. It's a hard thing to take responsibility. I screw up on a tax return, and I swear to you, my first instinct is to blame one of them girls that works for me. But their name's not on the wall. Is their name up there on the wall? Boy, I wish they'd want their name on the wall. I'd sell it to them tomorrow afternoon. But I've made it too easy on them. It's hard to take responsibility. It's in our nature. It's not the God nature. And that's why we're not done with this. I'm going to show you, we can do these things, but it's not easy. How many of you can say this without worrying about anybody thinking less of you? It's so much easier to get mad at somebody than it is to love somebody. It's so much easier. Huh? It's so much easier to look at another flaw of mine, a terrible flaw of mine. And I see some people that are able to overcome this, but I always think about somebody or I hear about a situation, and I always think the wrong thing instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt. That woman, she did it, and you gave her to me. Never mind that in chapter 2, he was complaining because all he was surrounded with was zebras and giraffes and donkeys. I need somebody that looks a little bit like me. And he brought her to him, and he said, "Whoa, that's it. You complete me." She completed him so much that she handed him the forbidden fruit, and he ate it. And then last thing. We'll quit here in just a second. Last thing. Furthermore, and this is probably the number one thing that's going on with me as far as the evangelical church. Furthermore, it eliminates their ability to use faith toward God in order to quench the evil darts that are actually coming from Satan. I got that by revelation too. This is a revelation verse. All three of these verses are revelation verses that how many of you can understand that you won't talk me out of this? Jazz, you've been gone for a while. Hadn't changed, has it? I don't know. What would it be like just to come to church and sing Kumbaya? Kumbaya, my Lord. No. I'm telling you, 1 Timothy 4:1, Genesis 3:12, and Ephesians 6:16, I believe. And if I'm wrong, the Lord will point it out to me. But I believe I got divine revelation on it. Got it? It eliminates their ability to use faith towards God in order to quench the evil darts that are actually coming from Satan. Here it is, Ephesians 6:16. Above all, everybody say above all.
Above all.
Say it again.
Above.
Taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Say it out loud, everybody. Let's do it. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Where do the fiery darts come from? Is God tempted on any level by evil? So I'm going to close here. We got 55 minutes up there and probably more than that because y'all didn't start recording. That's not 55 minutes of recording, is it? Is it really? Well, God bless you. So why is this such a struggle? It's such a struggle because the reality is that we don't hardly, there's pockets of people that do. The most victorious person that I know, and I don't know him personally, so I can only go by what I see on TV and what I read in his books, but I think the person that embodies this the most in my own life is a man named Andrew Womack. I think he's completely and 100% sold out for the work of God, that he gets up every day to do God's work. And I don't think there's hardly anybody collectively or percentage-wise that does that. And if you don't commit 100% to this, you're going to get derailed. You're going to get derailed, and that's why thank God for the grace revolution. But in your derailment, you're going to have to deal with some things you didn't have to deal with, because if you stayed 100% connected to God, you could see 100% of His will fulfilled in your life. But as far as I know, let me take it from the Bible. The only person for sure, for absolute sure, that fulfilled God's will 100% was the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. And a guy that did it maybe 95% was Paul the Apostle. Now, he got in some trouble, and I think God did it on purpose, put it in the Bible on purpose. He got mad at John Mark because he quit working with him. And he said, I ain't taking that boy with me. You take him, Barnabas. And then he got mad at Peter. They had a little tiff. So he, you know, he had to deal with some relationship trouble. He wasn't 100%, but he was 100% sold. And the Lord just told me to tell you all this. Andrew Womack admits, and you look at him, I mean, he's not an obese person by any means. You know, like the fella in the red jersey. You guys have been coming to church for 26 years, and you've seen this thing go up and down more than a yo-yo. And I'm back on a down mode, I guess, soon as Anna leaves. We have to eat well when she's home because I love her and I miss her. Steak on me. Where was I going? Oh, the Lord. So he admits that the Lord's gotten on him because he likes food too much. You can't tell it by looking at him, but hey, I'm glad to hear it. I want to know there's somebody else out there that's dealing with things. Can you say amen? But you know what? Here's what I believe. I believe we're obligated to tell people about God's best. And if we fall short, here's what the Lord told me this morning. This morning. I'd rather see you lose winning. I said, man, that don't make any sense. He said, I'd rather see you lose, but you're losing by winning. In other words, at least you're putting these things in focus and you're recognizing that I didn't do it. And my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. And Jesus Christ did everything you couldn't do. And heaven's open to you. And grace is open to you. And love is open to you. And faith is open to you. And so let's close this morning. Stand on your feet and let's close with Hebrews 4. And this will make so much more sense now, I think. I think you pick it up in about verse 13, man, real quick. Just real quick. I hope that made sense to you. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is anybody can look at me and tell that I'm not winning all the time. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. I needed to explain that better. You can look at me and tell I'm not winning every time. I've had to go to this man for help. He knows I'm not winning every time. But I'd rather lose trying to win. I don't know if that makes any sense. I might have blew the whole sermon with that, but that's what I heard this morning, and I shared it with you. It's verse 14. Verse 14. Start at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So get that out of your mouth that you hear on that secular or that Christian radio program. Get that out of your mouth. Put in your mouth, I'm not going to say that God's tempting me. I'm not going to say God's doing this. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to hold fast to my confession. God's not doing that. Verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Oh, my goodness gracious. Bow your knee and bow it to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you imagine living 33 and a half years on this earth and not sinning? Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. How do you come? Boldly or confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boy, take that home today. Get that Bible open. Dust it off. There'll be some things come out of it. Dust. I don't know, old lesson sheets, but open it up to Hebrews and read that. Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. No sense saying it, but I'll say it anyway. I'm so sorry that I haven't been able to measure up to the level of what I teach, but I thank you for showing me the revelation anyway. And I thank you that there are people out there, bless God, that are promoting this and living this and doing this, and we have the opportunity to give to them on a regular basis. Amen. If you're listening by radio or internet and you've thought you were going to tune into country music this morning and you've listened to this message on some level and the Holy Spirit's been able to quicken in your heart the reality of Jesus Christ, let's receive Him together today. Come on. Receive Him. Become a new creature. Pass from death to life. Get God's love in your heart. It all comes through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come any other way. Going to church won't do it. Giving your money away won't do it. Praying the rosary won't do it. No, 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 no. Being baptized in water won't do it. No, no, you got to receive Jesus. So say this with me. Say, dear God, I want to know Jesus in the power of His resurrection. So I receive Him this morning as Lord and Savior. He lived, He died, He rose again, and He's coming back. And because I have faith in Him, I'm your child, and I'm a Christian. In Jesus' name. Now listen, if you prayed that minute, your spirit was reborn, and you'll notice a change on the inside of you, and you'll get uncomfortable about certain things you used to be comfortable with. So the first thing you need to do, and I wish somebody told me, is you need to get a Bible, and you need to learn about this stuff from spirit-filled people. And so if you prayed that prayer and you don't actually have a Bible, contact us on the internet through our webpage, lifeinchristchurch.net, and we'll get you a Bible. And if you listen to this and prayed that prayer, just contact us and tell us you prayed that prayer. It would help us because we want to know that we're being effective on some level. Lord, we give You all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Brandon.